and maybe it'll come up, and maybe it won't.
I want to introduce Scott Peters, who is the San Diego City Council president. Scott earned his undergraduate degree from Duke University, spent a year in Washington, D.C. as an economist for the U.S. EPA before attending New York University School of Law. Scott was elected to the San Diego City Council in 2000, re-elected in 2004, and represents the city's first council district that includes, among other prominent enterprises, Torrey Pines Golf Course, which I noted in particular, and the University of California at San Diego. Scott has served as co-chair of the city's Clean Water Task Force and is a former member of the California Coastal Commission. In November 2005, the San Diego City Council unanimously selected Scott Peters as the city's first council president. Please welcome San Diego City Council President Scott Peters.
Good afternoon, and thank you. I love taking credit for that golf course. I always take people out there and say, don't you like what I've done here? And thanks for inviting me to speak about fluoridated water. I should just note that I've known about fluoridation since I was a child. My grandfather on my mother's side was a dentist, married to a hygienist, my grandmother, who lived till she was 96. And always, every day she was with us, made sure we flossed and talked about the importance of fluoridated water. I didn't really know that I would deal with it in a professional capacity ever, but I have, and I'd love to be able to tell you that we are on the leading edge of this effort in San Diego, that we've been treating our drinking water for the past 50 years, as some cities have, and that our children's teeth are stronger because they drink fluoridated water. I can't do that. I'd love to deliver this news because the amount of fluoride that's naturally present in San Diego's water, I guess, is at the low end of the normal spectrum. About 23 parts, or 0.23 parts per million on average, with the optimal range estimated to be between 0.7 and 0.8 parts per million. So only a small percentage of San Diegans receive fluoridated water. This is only since December 2007, when one of our suppliers began to fluoridate its water, that's the Metropolitan Water District in Los Angeles, and pass it along to us. And as a result, only about 9% of the city's imported only 9% of the city's imported water supply is now fluoridated. Until recently, the city was not allowed to fluoridate its own water supply. Ours is the city, largest city in the country that does not fluoridate its water. We are, the eighth largest city now in the country. But there's a vote in the 1954 election that made it illegal for San Diego to fluoridate water. That was a vote of the people. Since that time, the state of California has made fluoridation a priority, and they've made it mandatory. And in 1995, Pete Wilson, as governor, he's our former mayor, signed the California Safe Drinking Water Act. This law requires that water providers with more than 10,000 connections fluoridate their water supplies, but it exempts cities like San Diego from having to comply with the law if they lack sufficient outside funding. And that has been the situation up in San Diego up until now. And I have to thank my colleague here, Supervisor Ron Roberts, for the effort he has made to bring funding to the region and to the city in particular, and help us out of this little quandary. Because now that the first five commission has offered to help, the city has an outside funding source. And now the state law, which requires fluoridation if you have funding, trumps our city law, which prohibits fluoridation. And so with the removal of this exemption, then now the city is allowed to move forward to fluoridate its water. In June 2008, with the rest of the city council, I voted to accept the first five commission's offer of more than $3.9 million to fluoridate our drinking water. This amount will fully fund capital costs at each of the city's three water treatment plants, and it will provide up to 2 years of operation and maintenance expenditures. So now we have a two-year window to design and construct the necessary infrastructure for fluoridation. By May 2010, we expect this legal story will have a happy ending, and that San Diegans will be generally drinking fluoridated tap water each day. I also want to acknowledge and thank a very dedicated group of scientists and professionals, including Howard and Ellie and some other folks who may be with us today, who came to the city council and very respectfully told us what the science was. And I have to tell you that, I don't know if you go to a lot of city council meetings, I do. Actually, we were just talking about how my term is ending. I probably won't be back at one for a while after that. But it's a great opportunity to serve the public. But people tend to make judgments in an emotional way sometimes. And it helps so much to have scientists and professionals who can come tell you, these are what the facts, these are what the professionals say, these are what the professional research is. And that made all the difference for us to be able to say that this is the right way to move ahead. And so we had people from the health profession, local research institutions, all very instrumental in coming and informing us and prodding us, and along with Ron Roberts, forcing us to fluoridation in some cases. I was happy to go there. I think my colleagues came along with me. And we look forward to 2010 when we will be providing fluoridated water to all San Diegans. And so again, as Doctor said, I am chairing a council meeting today. I'm happy to be with you today, but I'm going to run off and wait for you to come back and tell me what to do the next time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You want to take a question? Okay. Yes, sir.
Do you want to announce who you are?
It's Meyer and Illusion.
You don't have to tell me. You got so many ribbons that I always I have to pay attention to you. I know. So you're like the general, the admiral of this whole outfit. So. It's interesting. I actually think Ron may be able to illuminate that a little better than I can even, but because Ron was on the city council before me, so he may have been involved in this early. But I'll tell you that just before I was elected, I know there was a hearing with hundreds of opponents. And you know, that's a difficult thing to talk back to. I mean, as a practical matter, if you have a whole room of people who are angry at you, it's just difficult for a human being to face up to that. And what I think happened over time, which was really great, was that the professionals were really very clear. They were not hysterical. They really explained what the benefits were, how you dealt with each problem, how you dealt with babies, how you dealt with making sure the ratios were right, overdoses, all the questions that people raised in their frenzy and their emotion. The medical and the professional community, the public health community, was able to address them in a professional and responsive way. And over time, we came to this position where I think although we had really no legal ability to talk back to this, which I think is a great cover for a politician, it also, I think, had calmed things down a lot. So I would say that by the end, through the efforts of, and I guess the first five itself, people came to be more comfortable with it. That doesn't mean that you won't have opponents. There are not many things I do in my position where I have no opponents. We're used to that. Ron's laughing. I have the hardest district. Everyone who retires in my district becomes a traffic engineer and tells you that the traffic light's not in the right spot. But we're used to opponents. We work through those issues, and I think the key was having good information from credible sources, and that was really good.
Yeah. Did your own physician or dentist ever discuss fluoridation before it became an issue, only after?
Probably. It's not the best listening position. I don't know if you've ever been a patient, but the dentist got you in the chair. You're just thinking, I got to get out of here. Right.
Three referendums, I and a number of others are involved in two of them. I'd like to ask you this question. It seems to not only take advocacy, both from the professional and from the public,
and the political leadership, but there's another factor I see, and that is there's something about political timing. And it seems to me it's sort of serendipitous. I can't kind of grasp it, but I see it happening. Do you have a sense of that in San Diego? What happened in the time? How was the timing? What influence could you have on it, and how much was it just happenstance?
You know, I think in politics, it's all about timing. There's so much. You know, some issues make their own timing because you know it's coming. Here it comes. It's coming in June. We're going to deal with it, and it comes. But I do. I think that's a fair observation. I don't know quite what you do about it. I actually had a professor at college in political science who wanted to study this, and he came up with this ridiculous term, I think, but he called it spiraling contextuality. That was what he called it. That the notion that events change, it sometimes created a hospitable. I don't know how I passed that course. But you know, I think that's clear all the time, and you can see that something that would just be unheard of at some point, all of a sudden is open. I'll just tell you that same-sex marriage 10 years ago, no one would have talked about it. Now it's on the front burner. Some of that's just a progression of views on it. I think that might be part of what happens with fluoridation, and sometimes just it's an opportunity.
We had a very real sense that third time was either going to be very bad for us or good.
Yeah.
And I think we looked at San Diego from a distance and said, in any city which is effectively blocked, or actually fluoridated and then stopped, which I think is where you were, that's a very difficult position to be in.
Right. I'll take one more, and then I'm going to step aside with my colleagues here.
Yeah, I was going to say this for the end of the session, but I know you need to get on to your council meeting. I just wanted to congratulate the city council and the people of the city of San Diego for this great step forward.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And I want to say, too, that it wouldn't happen with these people, and for political leadership, the father of fluoride in the county is Ron here. So I'm happy to be the junior partner, but I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Scott, for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us. It's really appreciated. Thank you.